Thanks for listening to Last Call Confessions. This podcast is intended for adult audiences, and there may be language or references that some listeners may find disturbing. Guest views are their own and not necessarily reflective of the Last Call Confessions team. Discretion is advised. Welcome to this episode of Last Call Confessions. I'm one of your hosts, Austin Rieger, and today I'm joined by Lauren Soranko as we sit down with recording artist Ruben Young. Ruben has been in and around both the bar and music industry for years and has released many of his own songs and music videos. Ruben has experienced all aspects of the business, and we're hoping to hear from some of his stories along the way. I want to know a bit more about you. I know you've made some posts on about your childhood on social media, and there's a ton of love for your mom. I want to know what it was like growing up, how young you were when you started to develop a passion for music, and was your mom a big part of that?
Oh, what a great start. That's great. I love when I get to talk about my mom. Yes, I'm a big mama's boy for sure. I mean, to start on her, my mom is an immigrant. She's from Trinidad. She came here when she was 13 to Calgary in 1969. So to be a colored woman here, to go through the journey she's gone through, to be a single mom raising two men in two different generations, because my brother's 11 years older than me. She just makes me love life. Like, she makes me love and appreciate life. And she's the most incredible person I've ever met. She's inspiring. And the fact that she's gone through everything that she has, created kids like my brother and I, and it just makes you want to, I don't know, be better and work harder and all that shit. So my mom is the greatest. She also, you know, not a lot of children of immigrants have the privilege of like wanting to, or being able to pursue their career, or like a career and passion or their dreams, and have their parents support them, because it was tough for my mom to raise me so that I could go to university and do all the things that I've been able to do. But she's my biggest fan. Like, she's my biggest supporter in music, and I'm really grateful for that. She paid for my first vocal lessons. And when I went to Canadian Idol when I was 16, she was my chaperone and came with me. And, so she's the best. And yes, she's the reason I do this. And, does that answer the question? I don't know. That was a big moment.
A little bit. Like, that's some amazing stuff to hear about your mom. And how she did that. So she paid for your first vocal lessons. How old were you?
Oh, for sure. I was in late elementary at the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And was that when you started like loving music, or was it like before that? How did it come about?
I've always loved music, but there's a couple of reasons why I like dodged it. One, growing up in a single mom home without much money, I've always wanted to make money. Like, that's always been my thing. Like, I went to finance school, like I went to business school. So that was my thing. And also my dad is kind of, he was an aspiring artist as well. Like, he sang backup for Stevie Wonder on tour, like back in the day. He did the whole thing, but his journey kind of, and some of the choices he made were the reason my family was a bit broken growing up. So I resented music a lot. So I grew up loving it, but always hated on it. Got older and just realized, like, I'm 5'9" and half Jewish. Like, I'm not playing basketball anymore. Though my hoop dreams were illustrious. I just want you guys to know. But, after business school, I worked in finance. I was bartending. I was doing the whole thing. But I just wanted to do what I love. And I just wanted to give it a shot. And I'm still doing it. So, yeah.
That's awesome. And how did you get your start in the actual music industry? Like, it's obviously not just voice lessons straight to where you are. So what happened? How'd you make that jump? And then was it what you expected it would be?
So I really made the jump after 2015, I worked at Cowboys for the summer at Stampede. I made some money. And then right after, I started a music festival in Calgary. It's 50 days long. I put like all of my money into it. I got a bunch of my friends to help me with it. It absolutely was a miserable L. Like, I lost so much money. I ended up running a lot of it on my own. It was just like a crazy experience. And after that, that was kind of me trying to be in the middle of wanting to be a business guy and wanting to be involved in music. And after that, I just figured, like, let me just stop trying to play it safe and go do it for real. So I started leaving Calgary. And there was a period of time, there was like a 6-month stretch, right? Where, so I would leave Calgary on Sunday, get on a plane, go to Toronto or Montreal or Vancouver, LA, London, Nashville. And I would write like 2 or 3 times a day, DM as many people as I could, right? And then I'd fly home on the Friday, bartend Friday, Saturday, Sunday, make my money for the week, and then go do it again. So that was really where I started making relationships and like falling in love with being an artist. You know what I mean? Versus being like a singer in Calgary. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I want to know about Rachel Green from Friends. Because I see you love her. You even wrote a song about her. But like about Rachel Green, not Jennifer Aniston, correct?
Correct. About Rachel.
About Rachel. So is it like, are you a massive Jennifer Aniston fan or Friends fan?
I was just like a massive Rachel fan growing up. Like, she was the hottest.
It's Rachel.
I like Jennifer Aniston's obviously a real one, but it was like Rachel Green on TV was like, you know what I mean?
Like, it was like also really the personality. Films.
Yeah.
Okay. So how did that song come to be? Like,
that's actually, okay, I'm going to try to hit you with the condensed version of this because it can be a really long story, but I love this story. Okay. I'm in Toronto for my first trips out there, mm-hmm. and I'm at a party. My first big industry party, and I'm there drinking with one of my best buddies, just trying to like catch a vibe, and I get tapped on my shoulder. I turn around and it's this like giant Suge Knight looking guy, and he's like, are you Ruben Young? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I heard your music on the Juno panel, because for whatever reason I thought I could apply to win a Juno that year. So he heard it, he's like I really liked it and I want to know what you're doing. So fast forward a couple months, this guy's now my manager. He started helping me out, plugging me in. So really serendipitous, right? But at that same party, 2 hours later, it was at the law firm that represents Nelly Furtado, right? So there's this giant like 30-foot mural of Nelly Furtado going like this. And my best buddy and I are at this party and we're taking like stupid like Snapchats. And I look up and looking dead at me from across the room is Nelly Furtado. And I'm like, oh shit. So, oh God. And she's with this dude who I recognize, but I couldn't like put my finger on it. And Will's like, yo, we got to go say hi, my buddy Will. So we go across the room, we meet them. We end up talking to them for like 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then we leave and I'm like, yo, we just chilled with Nelly Furtado. And Will's like, yeah, and Haji Beats. And I'm like, oh my God, that was Haji Beats from Odd Future. And which is like the group that had Frank Ocean and Tyler, the Creator in it. And Haji and I really vibed. Like we just became buddies right away. So he gave me his number. We stayed in touch. He told me I was like, we should totally get in the studio together, but he was going to LA next week. And I was like, crazy, bro. Me too. I'm in LA next week too. And he's like, sick, we should meet up. So I go home. I buy a flight to LA because I was lying.
You weren't actually.
Fuck no. Go and I link up with him and we chilled. We hit it off. Had one of the craziest days of my life with him. Like a story for another day. Fly back to Toronto. And I end up 2 weeks later in a session that my new manager, see the full circle in this here? Mm-hmm. My new manager set up for me with the guys that made Here by Alessia Cara. So I'm hyped. I'm so nervous for this session because this shit's all new to me. We go in. They have this like retro beat. And I just thought of Rachel Green. Like hit me, wrote the song, but something was missing. So I randomly on a whim texted Haji, was like, yo, are you in Toronto? He's like, yeah. I'm like, here's where I am. He's like, I'm 5 minutes away. So he pulls up to the studio, puts his verse on it, and there's Rachel Green. It was done in one day.
It was done in one day.
But like serendipity and like four trips and like, you know what I mean?
I was honestly wondering at one point, like, where's he going with this story? Did he forget about Rachel Green?
Like, what the fuck is going on here? Yeah. But that's
it's where stars align, eh?
But that's crazy. I love it. So where can people go find this song?
You're going to want to go down to your local HMV and you're going to want to ask for a guy named Bob. He's going to, no, just go on Spotify and Apple or Instagram. Hit me up. It's Ruben Young. It's spelled R-U-B-E-N. It's not spelled R-U-B-E-N like the sandwich, which everybody likes to spell it as. So, yeah.
Oh.
It's a sensitive topic.
Man, you've had the opportunity through your music to open for both other acts, headline other shows. What's that been like? And who have you had the opportunity to work with or meet that stands out to you? We've obviously heard about one so far, but I know there's more. So who stands out?
Yeah. I have been lucky enough to open for, Kaiza and I went on tour together last year, which was really cool. Phony People, The Chainsmokers, Akon, Nelly, Classified. Some really cool artists. It's been a wild ride so far.
I love that. So like doing like all the opening for these acts and everything and going on tour, like where have you performed? Like where have you had the opportunity to go perform?
Oh, so a lot of shows in Toronto in the last couple of years, obviously home, San Francisco last year, Montreal. Yeah, I mean, I think it's really my career getting out and performing is just kind of like getting rolling. And then COVID came. Like I was booked to play my first festival in Amsterdam this year or last year, and South by Southwest, and everything just got scrapped because of, Coroni Bamboni. So
do you have a favorite venue, or are you waiting to see what that is after Corona?
Well, I mean, I'm hyped for after Corona, but like my show in San Fran was unforgettable. It was crazy.
Was it for a festival, or were you opening up for someone?
That was with Kaiza. And actually, that show was nuts because that was my first American tour date. I'm half my family's from the Bay Area, like from San Jose. So pretty much from San Fran. And so my first American tour date gets to be with Kaiza, who's this like big hometown hero from Calgary. And my dad, my auntie, like my dad's side of the family, who I hadn't seen in like 5 years, was at the show. So yeah, it was really like special. It's cool.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Family guy.
What's the lifestyle been like when you've been out on these shows and partying and doing all that kind of stuff? Like for us, we all just see the back end of it, right? Like we see the TV shows, the movies, that kind of stuff. We don't know what it's actually like to be in it. So is it really the rock star lifestyle that it looks like?
Big chunk for that one.
Take a big drink there while you try and think of what not to say.
No, it's a really fun. I mean, honestly, COVID has made me realize how much I am grateful for the experiences that I have as an artist. Like, I've just like you guys, you know, working at Cowboys and working everywhere that you guys have been a part of, going this whole year without it. It's like, what do I do? I'm literally being a singer as being a dude on his laptop and like right here. So I miss that. The lifestyle is fun, like traveling, being in cool places with cool people. Like last year I was in Atlanta and got a chance to be at like this random tiny, like 30 person party with Just Blaze and Brian Michael Cox, who wrote like all of Usher's songs. Like that type of shit is just so cool. And being robbed of it this year is trash. But so Dave and Atlanta are two great shows that actually show how funny it is to be a fucking artist. Like the amount of bullshit, the amount of crazy conversations you have on Monday that went nowhere by Tuesday, the amount of like ridiculousness, the amount of not getting paid for shit you think would be like, oh my God, you're doing this. Like you got 5 million streams, like you're rich, shit like that. It's super funny. And we need like more of that. It's more of the,
okay, I'm gonna watch this.
You have no idea. Dave is the funniest shit I've seen all year. So you should watch it. When you hear a song, you hear the song and you see the video and you're like, great, this was genius. You don't see the 100 songs that they wrote to get to that. The stupid session where we said the stupidest ideas that led to the good idea. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And yeah, it's wild.
We just want to take a minute to acknowledge all of our listeners from around the world. Currently, we have people listening from Canada, United States, Costa Rica, Australia, United Kingdom, Mexico, Belgium, Greece, Germany, Sweden, the Netherlands, and the United Arab Emirates. From all of us at Last Call Confessions, thank you for making us part of your day.
If there was something, like obviously it sounds like this show does a great job of highlighting some of the things that don't get talked about, but yeah. Is there anything that you wish TV shows and movies would show about the lifestyle that they don't?
Yeah, I think it's just that. It's just like those shows show them pretty well. Okay. But I don't think most people have any idea about, like I said, just the randomness and the shenanigans, like the hilarious stuff that happens. There's so many moments where you like look around, you're like, I wish, like, this is a Netflix show right now. Yeah, it's wild.
I like the fact that you bring up the fact that so many people like think, oh man, he must be getting paid so much money for this right now, and have no idea that you somehow, through a bunch of bullshit things, ended up playing the show for free, essentially.
For real. Well, even, yes, so much for free. But even that long Haji Beat story I told you guys about with Rachel Green, that is a perfect example of the most random bullshit. Me getting a text to go to that party, me almost not going because we were having dumplings in Chinatown and we're about to go party for the night, and just being like, I don't know, let's go. And it changed my life. Like,
yeah,
all right there. Or me landing, taking a 40-minute Uber in LA from LA to Pasadena to meet up with Haji at a coffee shop and standing there for like 25 minutes because he wasn't replying to my texts. And then him being like, yo, change my mind, meet me at my crib, here's the address. So I start walking. It was a 40 fucking minute walk. And then I waited in the lobby for 25 minutes. Man came down with like his son and was like, yo, we chilling with my son today. I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
And this is after you went home from the last conversation and bought a plane ticket to fly out there after saying that, yeah, you were going to be there anyways.
Like, bro, I lied to get here. Do you know how much I risked to be here?
And how many times do you think that probably goes through where it never responds to the text message? You just flew to LA for no reason.
Happens all the time. I literally, last fall I was in LA. I was supposed to write with this crazy writer. She's written for like R. Kelly, Boyz II Men, like R&B classics, right? She's like, I'll be there in 10. 20 goes by. Hey, I'll be there in 40. All right. Hey, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Doesn't come. I waited for 2 hours for this chick at the studio. Oh, I'm like, this is such trash. I can't even make this up. I get up to leave the studio, open the door, and this dude is standing there. This like Colombian guy, decked out, craziest chains. Like the type of person you want to just like ask, like, yo, like, who are you? And next thing you know, him and I are in the studio. He's showing me songs that he wrote with The Weeknd. And then him and I are writing a Latino track together. It was crazy. Again, you just can't make it up. It doesn't make any sense. Like, I'm a kid from Calgary with my backpack in fucking the middle of, you know what I mean? LA, just lost.
Man, what I'm getting from this right now is that you got to jump at opportunities because you never know what they're going to lead to.
To do a career like this part-time or half-time, or it just, you got to get really lucky. You got to get really lucky doing it full-time, taking full advantage of opportunities, right?
Now, when it comes to partying, I know you know your things. So where have been your favorite party spots?
What are the things? I'm just kidding.
He knows his stuff. He knows how to party.
Know some stuff. Okay, favorite party spot. I'm more of a, it's not about where you are, it's who you're with. That okay. being said, Red Deer is not coming up in this conversation. So I'm going to roll with Miami, Montreal, and Havana have probably been my three top spots.
And what were your favorite, what were your favorite things there?
Oh my God. Like, it's just, I don't know. I know you guys know about this, but when you're in a new place and you're going from spot to spot to spot, and every single time it's like, your mind is like, yo, like Montreal has that for me. It's like, there are so many low key little party spots. I was there for Oceaga last year for my best friend's bachelor party. I was best man, so I was trying to coordinate the whole thing. It was nuts. But Havana was the wildest, because the culture, the people, they're like, it's, you're in communism. So when it's time to party, you are partying, bro. We were in this like random salsa bar with Jennifer Lopez's stepdad, who was playing like flamenco guitar on top of a table. And it was, yeah, it's a lot. Yeah.
I'm shocked Vegas doesn't go on your list too, though.
I've never been to Vegas.
What?
You gotta understand, like, Austin, you've been to Vegas, I'm sure, right?
Yep. Once.
Did you go with Cowboys squad?
Yeah, I went with Dave. So.
Okay. Right. You went with Dave. You went with the GOAT. That's fantastic. That's great context. Had you not gone with Dave,
I would never go.
That's right. As a man, do you want to go spend $15,000 or do you want to go to Havana and spend $4,000 and have the exact same like experience? It's not going to be like 25,000 girls at the pool. You don't need 25,000 girls at the pool.
You know what though? Like for me, I would pick, out of all the cities that I've been and all the places I've partied, I go back to Nashville in a second. Like Nashville was for me, my Vegas. I had more fun in Nashville for a quarter of the dime than I did in the entire time that I was in Vegas.
Nash Vegas.
Yeah, it was, man, it was unbelievable. And I was there during hockey playoffs. So like the city was alive. Everyone was there. It was just crazy every night. Like so much fun. And just, I'm a music guy too. So to hear the music and the talent that comes out of those people, like there's more talent in Nashville than anywhere I've ever seen. It's so cool. But,
well, I think that's a cool thing about Nashville is like, I don't know if I can say there's more talent anywhere, but the culture like breeds it. The culture is like, get good at music and go perform. And that changes everything. And that's why, like, for somebody that makes R&B, unfortunately, I had to leave Calgary because the culture doesn't incubate R&B.
If you like what you're hearing, please don't forget to give us a rating and write a review on your favorite podcast streaming platform. It helps us out a ton and allows us to keep producing great content. While you're at it, make sure to check us out on Instagram. At Last Call Confessions, and give us a follow for all the up-to-date info on the podcast.
So while you were working your way up, you worked in a few bars and restaurants along the way. What was that like? And like, can you think of any crazy stories that you, while working there?
For sure. So yeah. For sure. So yeah, I bartended at Earl's, I bartended at Kraft, Rose and Crown. And every year since I was, I think, either 18 or 19 at the Cowboys Stampede tent during summer, right? So I'm sure out of that selection, I think you could probably guess where the crazy stories happened. Wasn't on dining bar at Earl's Tin Palace, that's for sure. So yeah, no. Okay, so I'm 19. And I was at Cowboys and I was on Red Bull Bar, which is just wild. It was like, you know, I think it was first Friday. And this was my first year, so I don't know what is going on. And we're like, you guys know, we're like 10 deep on the bar. I'm so stressed out. Everybody is so mad at me. And like one dude budged and caused a scene and he got dragged out like by his neck. And, you know, it's madness in there. So as I'm pouring drinks, this like gorgeous, like, I don't know, 50 something year old woman, like a total cougar, comes like busting through, comes, stands right here and is like, make me a drink. And I'm like, I can't, I'm busy. She's like, I need a drink. I'm like, I also need a drink, but I can't, this guy's about to give me so much money. Grabs my shirt, pulls me across the bar, full tongue in my mouth, make out, takes my head right in the goods. And I'm like, I'm 19. Like, I'm so shook. And again, for the last dude that budged, he got dragged out by his collar. I got a round of applause, like from everybody that could see. It was insanity. So that was wild. That was like, I think without that, I'd probably be a different person at this point in my life. Probably
that, be married. That 150-year-old cougar, if she's listening right now, thank you.
I'd be married with kids if it wasn't for her. But yeah, she scarred me. But yeah, no, Cowboys was crazy.
Did you make her a drink?
No. Are you kidding me? She got it kicked out. Security! Throw a piece of ice in security? No, of course I made her drink. But I do distinctly remember cash out trailer area at that time. Mm-hmm. It like poured rain one year and all of us were like lying under the trailers because we wouldn't go home.
The worst. Cash out.
It was a scene from Titanic pretty much.
All right, man. So what's the craziest thing that you've seen either in the music industry or the bar industry or both?
I'm going to go for both. So one year I was bartending again at Cowboys. Naturally, it's going to be at Cowboys. I was bartending there and got to open for the Chainsmokers in the same year. And so I was on stage. This was like the most nervous I had ever been. It's like the biggest show of my career so far. And I got my friends in the front row. They're going nuts. And I'm like, I got my camera guy over here. So I'm like, I was so nervous until you get on stage and then you kind of, you just get in your zone and you do it, right? And I remember jumping off the stage and going like front row to my buddies, like mic in their faces, like getting them to sing the words, and I'm singing. And I get to this girl who is like, again, not 55 this time, but just like such a knockout. And she is, we've been like, I don't know, she's looking at me because I'm performing, but I'm also looking at her because she's really hot. But anyways, besides the point, I get down there, I go from one buddy to the next buddy to her, and instead of grabbing the mic, same thing, grabs my collar and puts lips on me. And I look over, my first instinct is to look over at my camera guy who's right here, like, and then I look this way because three rows back is my girlfriend at the time who has her, like, by the grace of Moses, she has her back turned so doesn't see it. And I'm like, yo. And then she turns around and sees me and I'm like, hey boo. She's like, hey boo. And we were fine. But this situation happened and I was shook. And like I said, it's all on camera. I get back on stage and finish the show. But that was like, I felt like, I was like, oh, this is rock star. This is rock star-ish.
It probably happens a lot. It sounds it happens a lot to you.
The best part was the whole shift before though, I wore, because I didn't want to talk and lose my voice. And I was on Red Bull Bar that night as well. So I had a lanyard with a notepad. I don't know if you remember this, Austin, but I wouldn't speak to people. So I'd write what I needed to say on it. And I was not a good bartender that night.
I remember trying to balance your schedules to make all of that work and the sound checks.
Oh, I don't think I properly thanked you for that. You were a G for that.
Oh man. I was like, the rule at Stampede is essentially no one is allowed to change shifts ever. No one can do anything because it's just such a nightmare to try and move things around. And here I am sitting with Ruben being like, okay, like, what do we need to do? Well, I need the sound check here. I need to make sure I don't use my voice here. I need this. I'm good to bartend after the show. I'm like, no, you're not.
You're like, you're bartending the night before. There's no way around it. Like,
the night of the show, like, I don't want you behind bar after your show. I want you to celebrate and have fun. It's like, okay. And we figured it all out. But man, was it a disaster to try and work around.
I woke up in my Honda Civic in the parking lot next to my girlfriend that night. We did not make it home.
You must have really celebrated in that Civic, hey?
I wish. I wish. I was dead. I was a corpse in that Civic.
Yeah, fair.
Way too hard.
But yeah, no, that's because that's a huge deal, like opening for the Chainsmokers, because it was like sold out in seconds, that show, I'm pretty sure. Right?
Well, and that's kind of at the height of the Chainsmokers too. Like when they came to Calgary, they were at the absolute height of their celebrity status.
Oh. And you know what was crazy? As soon, Austin, I'll never forget this, because I think I even messaged you. As soon as the Cowboys announcement came out that the Chainsmokers were coming, I emailed Tanya, I emailed Rochelle, I think I emailed you and was like, listen, I need to play this show. I was kind of like doing some EDM crossover stuff at the time. And I just got back from Toronto and met Sean Frank, who wrote Closer for the Chainsmokers, or he wrote it with them. Mm-hmm. And so I was just gassed on the Chainsmokers. I'm like, I have to do this show. Yeah, it was like a really cool moment.
So what do you see? I want to know, like, what do you see for yourself in the horizon of 2021 in the future?
I just put some of my goals on Instagram, actually, which is kind of funny. But
do you have a resolution list?
I always have goals all the time, so it's not really like a New Year's thing, but I figured why not? I can share them on January 1st. But no, this year's going to be big. This year's going to be, and I don't mean that in like an Instagram post that artists make, like I said, like hashtag big things coming. It's more like, I have worked, I've just worked so hard to get to where I'm at. And last year things had to really like, we all had to take a step back and get recalibrated a bit.
Yeah.
And it sucked. I missed out on a lot of things, but for me personally, I also got a chance to, had it not happened, I wouldn't have been able to open some of the doors that have. And I'm going into this like next couple months ready to put it all down and like make it worth it. And so by the end of this year, I hope I have better stories than the ones I told you today. I have three words. Well, sorry, three song. I have three titles. So it's more than three words. I got TNT. I got James Brown, and I got Yikes. That's what I got. I know none of you know what that means, but just
I'm literally like, I don't get it.
Okay. Just don't worry. Just hold on to that. TNT, okay. James Brown, Yikes.
All right, man. Well, we want to say thank you so much for coming on, taking some time with us. Really appreciate it. Looking forward to seeing everything that you do over this next year, man.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that so much.
I'm excited to see what's in store for you for 2021.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Last Call Confessions. It would mean the world to us if you could make sure to give us a rating and write a review on your favorite podcast streaming platform, as well as give our Instagram page, @LastCallConfessions, a follow. If you're interested in becoming a guest on the podcast, make sure to send us a DM. From all of us to you, wherever you're listening, thank you for making Last Call Confessions part of your day.